preacher in this area used to sell kitchen knives. The brand of knife that this guy sold was Cutco. If you have never heard of Cutco knives, or if you have heard of Cutco knives and you have never priced them, they are a very expensive knife. The steak knives that you use, perhaps at your table to cut meat, if you were to buy four of those Cutco knives, that would be $179 for four. The Cutco super shears, which look like a nice pair of scissors, that'll set you back $132. A single petite chef knife, $160. If you want the block of wood, which has 18 different knives, $1,395 is what they want for that. The knife salesman turned preacher, this is a number of years ago, went from house to house and asked people to buy these costly knives. In spite of the cost, and there were some people that I heard from as he was selling those knives and trying to sell, the people that I heard from sometimes bought. And this knife salesman turned preacher became very, very successful. His success was so great that he was eventually asked by the company to become a representative who would go in and present seminars for other salespeople. When this preacher presented a seminar, he said, "I want a whiteboard, just like we have to my right." In his typical seminar, he would welcome people. And after he welcomed people, he would go to the whiteboard and he would write the six letters that you see, SW, SW, and SW. Then the sales rep would say to those listening to him, "Before I leave, it is absolutely necessary that I tell you what SW, SW, SW stands for. If by chance I forget, remind me before I get out of the building." Well, of course, he wrapped up his presentation and thanked the people and then started to head off the stage. He forgot to tell the people at the seminar what SW, SW, SW means. Well, invariably, there would be some people in that assembly who would say, "Now, wait a minute, stop. You said you were going to tell us what SW, SW, SW means." And he would say, "Oh, okay." So he would come back to the platform and he would tell them what SW, SW, SW means. Now, maybe you've already figured that out from the outline. If not, the first SW stands for some will. The second SW stands for some will not. And the third SW stands for so what. I didn't ask, and he didn't tell me if he used a fourth SW, but there is one that sometimes is used by people, and more on that later. The knife salesman wanted people who were less experienced in sales to walk away with something from that seminar, something that was very, very important. You see, he wanted less experienced people to see from that first SW that some will buy. In spite of the high prices, in spite of prices which will almost cause some to faint and you have to bring out the smelling salts, some will buy the knives. And he knows that because he was very, very successful. But on the other hand, as you're going there house to house and telling people how much these knives cost, imagine a block of knives, almost $1,400. People may say, "Are you crazy? That's ridiculous." He knew that some also will not buy those knives. And then as you look at that third SW, so what? And that's not designed to be a bad statement. It's simply a way of saying, if you don't want the knives, there's someone else. If you don't want the knives, I have another house to visit. And the final SW means someone is waiting. Someone else is waiting. Someone else wants me, the Cutco knife salesman, to show up on their doorstep and to give them the opportunity to buy these knives. If we were present last week, we may recall how we looked at some information from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered. God was the one who gave the increase." For 2018, we've made it clear, and you'll see this reflected in the bulletins throughout this year, we've made it clear that we want to do our best to water the seed, as Apollos did in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. We defined that last week as trying to promote spiritual growth in the lives of others. It may be a little nudge, it may be a little push, it may be helping people make several steps to get them much further down the spiritual road. But in 2018, we want to see if not only we can continue to maybe plant some seed, but we want to continue to nurture that seed in the lives of people, the young, the old, in the people that we are around. If we water the first SW, some will respond. Now, maybe that response from people will be slow. Maybe we will, as we try to apply that water, need to apply a lot of water. But some will respond. For our scripture reading, we heard from Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. There's this guy, this man. He has a fig tree. This fig tree is in his vineyard, but as Jesus tells the story, he says this fig tree is not producing anything. This fig tree is unproductive. The owner of this tree has been looking for fruit from the tree for 3 years, and it has still not produced. The owner of the tree is about ready to chop it down, get rid of it. But Jesus says the vine dresser comes along and has a conversation with the owner of that vineyard. The man who is responsible for caring for that vineyard asks for another year. Give me one more year. He said, I will pay special attention to the tree. I'll even, you know, make sure that it's fertilized well. In the language of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, this man says, I'm going to water that tree. I'm going to nurture it. I'm going to nudge it. I'm going to do my very best so it will produce a crop next year. And then, if it doesn't produce a crop, then it can be removed. As we deal with people in the spiritual realm, we have to remember, we should never forget that some will. Some will. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that last chapter, verse 14 says, and we exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all. Why do those things, Paul? Paul knew that some would accept the watering, the encouragement that was offered. Paul knew that if that water was given, at least in some cases, it would do a lot of good. Paul knew that some watering could help for the disorderly. He knew that for the weak and for the faint-hearted, for those who were struggling, he knew that for the Christian and the non-Christian, watering can be very, very helpful. Be a water bearer to the strong. Bear water to the weak. Be a water bearer to the young. Bear water to the old. Bear water to the married. Bear water to the unmarried. Now, not everybody, as we try to bear that water, is going to be appreciative. Not everyone is going to be thankful. And as we think about that, that needs to be borne in mind. But as you do that, sometimes as you deal with a thankless people, you're trying to nurture them forward towards spiritual growth, and you find that that's not working out that well. Still, you will find that there are some cases where that does work. And in the cases where that does work, just like with a knife salesman, the cases where it does work, it makes it all worth it. Over the years, I've heard some elders say this job is not all that pleasant in some respects. Over the years, there have been some discouraged elders. And yet, as I listen to those men, and I say, why didn't you quit? Why didn't you stop? Invariably, they will say there were some bright spots along the way. And when those bright spots came, they made up for all the difficulties. They made it all worth it. Let the fact that some will, motivate us to be the bearer and the distributor of water, spiritually speaking, all our days. Never forget, as we go through the Christian life and as we try to nudge, push, sometimes nurture people, that some will. If some will, then it would be logical to infer that some will not. And Jesus, as we think about some of his teachings, he made that point at various times. For example, as he was talking about the parable of the sower in this account, Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, he made it clear that some will not. You may remember that in that chapter, Jesus talked about how the gospel was going to be rejected by some individuals. Trying to water God's word does not always work out in the way that we want. Perhaps what we offer is taken and it's misused. As I was thinking about this part of the lesson, I was thinking about another congregation, not all that far from here. I remember a preacher for that congregation who talked about how some people had showed up on his doorstep. They were looking for some financial aid. They said, we're poor and we need some cash and we're down and out. We need some assistance. So preacher ensured that they got some help. And not long after that, there was an elder of that congregation in a local store, grocery store, small community. And a couple hours over, there were some fellows who were over in the beer, the wine, the booze aisle. And the elder had pretty good ears and he heard from a couple aisles away how those fellows who had showed up on the preacher's doorstep asking for help, how they were joking, how they were laughing, how they were making fun of that preacher, and how they were able to con him of some money, and how they were now going to use that money that they conned for booze. In spite of our best efforts, we try to water in various ways, and there may be some people who either don't accept, or there may be some individuals who somehow misuse the water that we offer. And when that happens, don't be surprised. Some will, but some won't. Jesus You'll recall from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, as he's there in the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke about giving that which is holy unto dogs. He also talked about casting pearl before swine. He knew that some will not accept that water. Solomon, back in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 9, he said, a fool may scorn the wisdom of our words. Some will not. We might give someone the best possible help. We might give them the best possible information as far as verbal information. Some will not take it. The water that we seek to offer may be rejected by a multitude of people in a variety of ways. Others, as we try to bring that water, they may do their very best to poke a hole in our water, water bucket. That's okay. Jesus faced that. Some will, some will not. Jesus was treated in that same manner. Think about it for a minute. Remember the food miracles? Remember the healing miracles of Jesus? There were some folks who showed up and said, we want that. We'll accept that. But then as we look at the Lord's life, we also find, in general, John chapter 1 and verse 11, the text says, Jesus came unto his own, and what did they do? They received him not. We find that repeated throughout the Lord's life, that Jesus came to people, and unless he was giving out free stuff, on many occasions they said, no, we have no interest. When we look at the Lord's life, we find SW, SW, and SW. Some would, some would not. And then in that 6:1, Jesus was finally forced to say, so what? You see, the Lord, he intended to go to the cross. He set his face towards Jerusalem. He set his face towards the cross regardless if people loved him or rejected him. Jesus made the choice to die for mankind, regardless of what they thought, even if they were not willing to believe on him, at least prior to the time of his going to the cross for the sins of mankind. As Jesus paid the price, you may remember that there were some individuals who came by and they hurled, they cast, they thrust insults at the Lord, but it didn't matter. Jesus said, so what? I'm still going to do what's right. As you look at the Lord's life, you find recorded 7 sayings from the cross. Now, maybe Jesus made more sayings from the cross. Maybe not. We don't know for sure. But there are at least 7 recorded sayings. The first recorded saying is, to me, one of the most interesting. You may remember that first saying was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I'd like to know exactly when those words were spoken. Was the cross on the ground? Was Jesus being nailed to the cross? And as he's being nailed to the cross, it's not yet put upright. Perhaps as he's being nailed to the cross, it is at that point that Jesus, as the nails are being driven into his hands and feet, he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Or is it perhaps the cross is now being erected? And it is at that time that Jesus makes that first thing, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. As you look at where that account is as far as that information and the little information you have as far as when it occurred, it seems to me that either the words were spoken as Jesus is being put on the cross on the ground or shortly after the cross is erected. And you see at that point, surely more blood was beginning to flow from the Lord's body because the nails were now going through it as well. And he says, Father, forgive them. Some would not. But Jesus said, so what? I'm going to die. I'm going to allow them to put me to death. When he says them, in that statement, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Have you ever asked yourself who the them were? Father, forgive them. The soldiers? Maybe. Forgive them. The Jews in general who rejected him, John 1 and 11? Maybe. Pilate? The Sanhedrin? Exactly who does the word them refer to? The high priest? Jesus, the living water. That's how he's described sometimes in the Bible. There were some men who decided that they were going to try to put holes in the Lord's bucket. But Jesus said, I'm still going to be the living water. I'm going to offer myself to you. If we want a motto for 2018, and sometimes your people, as they look at a new year, they do want a motto for the new year. It could be what we have in the board. SW, SW, SW. I'm going to do my best to water spiritual seed in the lives of others. Some are going to take it. Some are not. So what? I'm going to be like Jesus. You see, God holds us responsible for being the planter and trying to be the waterer, not for the end results. The preacher turned salesman, and he is an effective preacher, not only in this area, but in general. He didn't, as I was talking to him about this matter, he didn't include a 4th SW. I don't know if he was unaware of it. Maybe that just didn't relate to the conversation, but he only got to the first three W's. And that fourth one, I put that in blue because it's a little distinctive. That fourth one means someone is waiting. I think if he were to go back and start giving, once again, his Cutco knife presentations, that might not be a bad one to end with. Someone is waiting. And this fourth one is perhaps the most important one of all. The one who is waiting may have been one of the SWs. For time, he was the second one. Some will not. There may have been a time where a person said, I'm simply not interested. You can encourage me, you can talk to me, you can give me information, and I am not interested. But something happens, some time passes, and now he or she, they may be waiting. When we think about people who might be waiting, it might be the person who didn't become a Christian in the past, for whatever reason. Person may have put that on hold in the younger years, maybe in the later years, and they have been living their life, not for God, but living their life decade after decade after decade. Maybe now they're close to the end of life. And we thought over the years that as we try to water the spiritual seed in the life of that person, they're going to die as a person who's not a child of God. Maybe now they're in the SW category. Number four, someone is waiting. Maybe it's the person who comes into a congregation and assembly, and they're looking to find a friendly congregation, not only to meet and greet them, but they're waiting to find someone who is willing to invite them back. It might be someone who's waiting to have a caring person listen to them because there's a crisis in their life right now. Maybe it's health, maybe it's family, maybe it's financial, whatever it might be. But there is something going on in the life of a person where they are that blue SW. Someone is waiting for someone to care a little bit. It may be that someone is waiting for an individual to come along and do nothing more than pray with them or for them. It might be that someone needs an encouraging word and they're waiting for someone to come and speak that encouraging word. There may be someone who used to be a Christian. They used to be on that straight and narrow path that we talked about in Bible class this morning, and they're waiting for some encouragement to come back and once again to start living the Christian life. Maybe someone is waiting for a way back to return to the place where they once worshiped. It all seems so possible. And this fellow was so successful with just the first three SWs. Some will, some will not, so what? And then that fourth one, someone is waiting. Are we someone who, as we look at these four, have said to God, I'm in the not category for whatever reason? Most, I think, would probably say, I'm in the will category. I've decided that, yes, I'm going to live my life for God. Well, good for you. Are you in the second category? For whatever reason, you've decided that you are maybe just not ready yet to become a child of God. How much longer will you wait? How much longer will we expect God's grace to last before we end up in that first column? Maybe you're in the waiting category, in that blue category, and you're a good person by the world standards, and you're waiting for something. Can't that be resolved? Can't that be fixed so that you'll be in the first category? I'm someone who will live my life for God this year, each and every day, to the best of my ability. SW, 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 SW. Do we need something that's fixable? Do we need to correct something? If so, the opportunity today exists to do that. If we have done that, then this year we'll be someone who does our best to water 1 Corinthians 3:6, perhaps following what we have on the board. Can we help you become a Christian by faith, repentance, confession, baptism, or stimulate you to live a Christian life, something perhaps that you're struggling with right now? Can we pray with you? Can we do something to get you on the right road or to keep you on the right road? Those are the questions that we're asking, and hope that you'll answer in the right way as we stand and sing the selected song.